All right. Welcome to the KNS Radio Network, baby. Thank you so much for joining me here on a Wednesday, which certainly feels like a Tuesday, doesn't it? Yeah, I know. Catch us all off guard. Matter of fact, I slept through all Monday. I didn't know what was going on. Yes, yesterday seemed just like Monday as most of us started back to the work week. I'm very fortunate that I've worked radio for 30 years and I've never had like a proper national holiday off. And where I work now as a surveyor with Moses Surveying, they don't give us every national holiday off like Juneteenth or something like that, but they give us the biggies. And normally Veterans Day is not a paid holiday off, but I just want to thank Ron and Lou Worry at Moses Surveying for giving us that day off. I think me and John, the other guy, worked really hard last week and they wanted to do something nice for us. So they gave us that off as a paid holiday. And I certainly appreciated that. It was weird, though, because I thought I was coming down with a cold. There is so much cold and germs and crap going around right now, at least Frankfurt, that I thought I was getting a cold. My girlfriend, Shell, she works at Marshall's in Lafayette. And last Tuesday, a week ago Tuesday, yesterday, she came home and she's like, man, I feel terrible. And so she had it all week. She ended up going to the doctor, which if you know Shell, if she goes to the doctor, something is definitely wrong. She's just tough and she just toughs it through. But she went to the doctor, got some meds, and they really didn't help a whole lot. She was just coughing and hacking and had a fever all week and finally got feeling better Saturday. And then Monday I woke up and I wasn't feeling real good. And I thought, man, if I went the whole week and didn't get what she had and now I've got it, just as I start my work week, I'm going to be really mad. But luckily it was just kind of a one-day thing. It was kind of like a weekend hangover, like I was expecting that I had to go to work, and then I had this free day, and all of a sudden, wow, didn't have to go to work. So I may have just been a little lazy, too. But I had a big weekend, so I was kind of tired and thankful to have that. Anyway, welcome to the program here on a Wednesday. Kevin Keith is my name. It's the KNS News and Commentary. Really appreciate you dialing us in. Want to thank our community-minded partners first. They are Center Township of Clinton County. Thank you so much, Jamie Pratt. We know that you guys do so much good in the community, and we appreciate you using KNS as a vehicle to get the word out. Heather's Flowers of Frankfurt, what more can I say about the lovely and talented expert flower fluffer, as we call her, Heather's Flowers in Frankfurt. The Oasis Frankfurt, that is my buddy Daniel, and I had a chance to talk to him in person a couple weeks ago, and he and I were talking about our mouths and dental issues that I'm having, and That was interesting, but Daniel's quickly become a good friend. Wampler Services Incorporated, appreciate you, Trina and Justin and all the crew over there. Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, what can I say about Granny? She's just like a granny to me. Love you, Tanya. Gem City Junction, appreciate those guys too. Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch, I love stopping out and talking to Alan Marchand. If you know what a nice, awesome dude he is. And I don't know, I've been meaning to ask him the last couple, because I like just stopping out and talking to him. We just like to BS. And I don't know if Alan is a coffee drinker or not. But if he is, one of these days, I'm going to surprise him with a hot, fresh cup of coffee, and he and I are going to just sit down and BS for a little bit like we like to do. Sanford and Notter in Mulberry, that's Jim and his crew out there. Live for Life, Indiana, Lebanon, Pizza Hut of Frankfurt. Thank you, Jill Hine. And Probyte Computers, of course, the one and only Charlie Spradlin for all your computer needs. And he's the tech guy, and a lot of his stuff is self-taught, too. So Charlie really knows the ins and outs of it, if you will. That's our KNS Radio Network community-minded partners, which make the program possible 24/7. It's a full-blown radio station. All you got to do is dial it up on your online internet or pull us up on our Live 365 app. In a couple months, I'm hoping to have a standalone app for KNS. Yeah, the actual KNS app. I'm working on that. I'm a little leery to spend that money, but it's one of them things. If I could purchase it as a buyout, just like a one-time thing, I would do it. But the monthly bills scare me. And I have enough monthly bills associated with the station that I try to keep that on the DL as low as I can. And it's these sponsors that make every little bit of this possible, because as I've said before, I have to pay the artist royalties, the streaming services, the website provider hosting services, and a couple other technical things that I don't quite fully understand, but they told me I needed. So I do that, and my bills come out in the first and the mid of the month. So I always got to make sure that I've got something on the KNS card to cover that. And I appreciate everybody helping me out and helping us out. And special thanks to Bud Wiry, who has been helping out and sponsoring a little bit for Live for Life Indiana Lebanon. You can, of course, hear Bud's commentary on Saturday mornings for the shop on our podcast to broadcast presentation that we do as a community service. He's on at 10 o'clock every Saturday morning, and Bud keeps the Boone County politicians in line. Let's just say that. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, please do so. All right. I'm working on some big things for the KNS website too, and I don't want to get off into the weeds. So when that happens, I'll just let you know that it happens, and then you can go check it out yourself. All right. It's been a couple days since I've been with you. I do want to tell you that Rick Snay is going to be coming up. As we found out, Monday afternoon, that the verdict came back. The jury found Richard Allen guilty on all four counts of murder. And in the Delphi murder case of Abby and Libby. And I know I will respect a jury's decision, but those of you who have listened to me before and listened to Rick and I discuss this, we both feel that Richard Allen not only didn't do it with somebody else, he didn't do it at all. I feel that he's an innocent man who's been wrongly convicted. And I think a lot of you do too, based on what I've seen on Facebook. And we're not here to debate that anymore. But I have a chance to talk to Rick Snay again, and he is the host of Delphi After Dark, which is a podcast that he does almost on a daily basis. And Rick has got just a plethora of information on this, so we're going to talk and dissect that a little bit. We'll talk about the appeals process, and Rick was actually there when some of the family came out of the court, and he'll give you some play-by-play, blow-by-blow on that coming up here later in the program. I have a couple random things I wanted to talk about this morning, and one of them is yesterday morning I went to leave to go to work, and I have to be at work at 9 o'clock. I usually stop at on my way into work, and I've got this medication that I take each morning. I have to take it with food, and a lot of times I'll stop at Burger King and get the 2 for $5, like a bacon, egg, and cheese croissant. They're just small enough to where I don't feel so guilty about eating two, but I'll have two of those, and I'll take this pill I've got to take. And so I do that, and I usually stop there at Speedway, or is it Speedway? I think across from the Frankfurt High School, and get me 2 for $5 monsters. And I'll drink one of those to get the day started, and then save another one for later in the day. Or if I'm smart, I don't drink it until the next day. I do the 2 for $1 there. But so I always leave about 8:30 or so to make sure I can do that. And then I just pop on over to Moses Surveying there on Wabash. And when I got in my car yesterday, Tuesday morning, I had parked it. I think I ran to Dollar General the night before Monday night. And so when I parked it, I parked on the square, across from Arnie's, but on the opposite side of Arnie's, like facing the courthouse, kind of down on the end. And I got in my car, and it was cold yesterday morning. It was like 42 degrees, just a little bit of frost on the windshield. And I started up my car, and I saw there was something tucked underneath my windshield wiper. And I thought, oh, crap, what is it? Did I get some kind of, did they go back to the paper tickets or something? Surely they would give me a ticket on Veterans Day. And then I thought, man, I hope this isn't bad news from an ex-wife who's telling me she's pregnant again or something. And I was pleasantly surprised. You'd be surprised. I was pleasantly surprised. It has, one side is just a bunch of, what is this fruit? Kiwi fruit sliced in half, just a pleasant picture of kiwi fruit. It's on like a glossy piece of paper. It's a little like a 5x6. And on the other side, it was handwritten. And here's what it said. You are enough just the way you are. And then it has a heart. You are important. You are special. You are loved. You are needed. You are appreciated. You matter. Thank you for being you. Hope you have a great day. Heart, someone spreading love. And that made my day. I got to admit, that was kind of cool. After I determined that I'm pretty sure it's not a stalker, I got thinking about it, and I thought, I wonder if she did that, because it's obviously a female's handwriting. I wonder if she did that to other people who were parked on the square sometime Monday night or Tuesday morning. So if you got something like that, shoot me an email at kevin@knsradionetwork.com. I appreciate people who does the random acts of kindness like that, and I just thought that was pretty cool. So I'm going to throw that away now so my girlfriend doesn't find that and think something else is going on. No, I'm not throwing it away. Also, I made this observation when I stopped at Speedway, and there's a lot of gas stations and convenience stores in Frankfort and all over America, and particularly Indiana, it seems like, that is either owned or ran by the Indian ethnicity, right? And these Indians, they own gas stations in Indianapolis, where I lived prior to this, for several years. And I've always liked the Indians, man. They've always just been friendly. They're a little flirtatious with my women. I'm not real cool on that, but I can kind of overlook that. It kind of flatters me. But they're just super friendly. And although they're always talking on their phones, usually with a Bluetooth, and they're talking in some Indian language I don't understand, and I'm guessing they're talking to someone continents away. I don't know. It could be on Clay Street. I don't know. But they're always on the phone, it seems like. Or they're talking to each other in this language that I don't understand. They could be plotting my demise. I don't know. But they always stop and smile, and they're friendly, and they have pretty good English, which I appreciate. And so regardless of which one you go in, which they're increasingly becoming all of them, have you noticed how they call you boss? I like going to the one there across from Frankfort High School to get my 2-for-5 monsters, because those guys in there, they're like I said, just super nice, and they always call me boss, and it makes me feel good. And I'm sure they call you boss too. So I guess that's their term of endearment for us white folk, I guess. I wonder if they call the Spanish people boss. I don't know. Maybe they call him jefe. I don't know. So I just wanted to make that observation that the Indian dudes always call me boss. So I know I can feel like a boss when I walk in and see an Indian ethnicity person behind the cash register there. I'm doing this from my apartment in Frankfort, and so I apologize if you just heard the police sirens outside. I saw last week, and I meant to bring this up, and I'm sure you guys saw it too, is that Frankfort is getting a Bigby's Coffee. Bigby's Coffee. Bigby's. Bigby's. It's going to be in the old Little Caesars location out there by Walmart. I also, I'm out there once every month and a half or so to get both of my hairs cut at Great Clips. And they're going to be there on the end. I think it's a great location for them because it has a drive-thru, if you remember. There for a while, Little Caesars utilized that drive-thru. There was a, if I'm not mistaken, what happened to Little Caesars, there was like a a woman who owned it, and she had a girlfriend, and I think she was from Lafayette, and they got in this big girlfriend fight, and one of them had to sell their half or something, and it just went under. The Little Caesars there actually did pretty well. When we would go out there and get a pizza once a month or whatever, I know a lot of people like the $5 or $7 pizzas, as we all do, and it was pretty good quality. But it seemed like they had a hard time keeping help, and that's a real damn problem when it comes to food and food service. So I'm happy to see a Bigby's Coffee. Now, some people said it's a crappy location, which it does sort of lend credence to only people on that side of town are going to like stop by there, you know, especially if you got the drive through, which is going to be busy as heck. But I don't see people driving from the west side every morning to go over like a loyal Starbucks person would or so. But I think it's cool. Now, I stop, like I said, every morning, most mornings, and get my 2-for-5 monsters, but I make those last 2 days. I'll drink one of a morning, then keep one for the next morning, and then the next morning I'll stop and get two more. But I enjoy a good coffee, and I'm talking about something that's just a little better than the stuff that you're not for sure what you're going to get, like at Family Express or Speedway there on the corner. I've got some nasty shit from Speedway there on the corner, not going to lie. And usually I can smell it first, so I know not to, like, you know, pay for it. I don't steal it. I just dump it out and get something else. But I like going in there and getting, like, a French vanilla or something. I like a good French vanilla. But there's something about a good, fresh, they make it fresh for me, cup of coffee. And a lot of times, I mean, 90% of the time, I'm just a straight black coffee guy. But I like a good, strong, bold black cup of coffee. So I'll probably be patronizing Bigby's and might even hit them up for some trade advertising. I get some free coffee out of it or something, but I'll let you know on that. But Bigby's Coffee is coming over to Little Caesars, and I'm sure you guys saw that last week on Facebook. Also, we're getting closer to getting the Popeyes and the old KY Fry. That's what we call it in Southern Indiana, Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC. In Southern Indiana, we called it KY Fry. I said that the other day, and Shell said, "What the hell are you talking about?" And she, of course, calls it KFC, as 90% of the population does. But that's what we used to call it in Southern Indiana, was KY Fry. So, of course, Kentucky Fried Chicken, it sucked before they went out of business. I've never been so happy to see a business go out of business than I was to see that one, because that place sucked terribly. And I'm happy to have Popeyes go in there. Again, it's a tight location, man. And I can imagine how busy it's going to be. You have to put a stoplight out there by McDonald's or something, man, because it's going to be impossible to get left out of there, I guess. I'm guessing. But I guess they did it with KY Fry. And so Popeyes, they've been doing a lot of work out there, as I'm sure a lot of you have seen. So I'm anxious to see when they'll get that done and try that out when they get that done sometime in 2030. Just kidding. Hopefully it'll be sometime next year. I actually heard by the end of this year, and I've seen a lot of work, but I don't know if they'll pull that off or not. I hope they would like expand the drive-through width just a little bit, because, man, it's tighter than a drum back in there. I remember the couple times I went to there when it was KY Fry. And, man, if you're in a big car, you got to make the right turn or back up and straighten it up, man. I mean, it's tight. So maybe they can take that privacy fence down and expand a little bit. But I know they won't. That would be a lot of money. So a couple observations there. Also, I remember about a year and a half ago, y'all know I'm a history buff. About a year and a half ago, I saw somebody, I don't remember his name right now, but on Facebook, he was sharing these photos of where he would just go out and randomly around Clinton County at cemeteries, he would randomly restore these grave sites, these gravestones, grave markers. And it was amazing. He had this green stuff that he brought with him and a couple buckets of water and some kind of secret mixture and a couple little brushes. And man, he'd make these things look brand new. And I think he did veterans particularly, but he did a couple regular ones and they were just amazing what he did. And I remember he was doing, he started out at Old South Cemetery. And me being a history buff just loves the name Old South. And so I tried to find some information on the Old South Cemetery online, and I've not reached out to the Historical Society yet, which I need to do, but I've just been amazed and intrigued by the Old South Cemetery there on Clay Street. We drive past it all the time, and it kind of sets back off the road, of course, and I don't know that anyone has been buried there for many, many years, but I would just love to know some little piece of history about, or a lot of history about, the Old South Cemetery. It is so cool looking when you drive past it on Clay Street and you see how it sets back. And I don't know if a church used to set in front of it, that's why it sets back, or what, but man, every gravestone is extremely old. And I guess that's why they call it the Old South Cemetery. But I don't know what the story is, or if it was like one of the first cemeteries in the city of Frankfort or what. But if you've got any information or someone better who might be able to tell me about that, please send me an email, kevin@knsradionetwork.com. Also, I saw on Facebook, and I found this interesting. Somebody asked the question, is the Frankfort Times not doing the best of Frankfort this year? And Carl Gingrich, who now works for the station across town where the coffee still sucks, he used to write for the Times. And of course, I have full disclosure, I love Carl Gingrich. He also works at Coach Kids. He's one of the directors there with Katie Schimmel. She's a sweetheart too. And I just love Carl. I love his writing. I love his personality. And so I'll give him full credit. He came on and commented and said it was toward the end when he was still working for them that someone had retired who used to spearhead it, and they just decided not to take it on again because I guess the Times now has like one person, and I don't even think she lives in Frankfort. She's a nice lady, and I talked to her a couple weeks ago on the phone, but the best of Frankfort has gone by the wayside. And it seems like every community I've ever lived in has the newspaper, the local newspaper does the best of, or the community favorite, you know, once a year or something. And it got me thinking, if I had a few more volunteers or a larger staff other than myself, what a great, cool thing it would be for KNS Radio Network to do the best of Frankfort. That'd be a great promotion I could latch on to. But I tell you, friends, doing what I do here is busy enough. And I've told you before, I don't want you to feel sorry for me, but I work like the Dickens behind the scenes on KNS just to keep it up to the standards you guys are used to. So I can't do the best of Frankfort on KNS, at least I don't think so. But if the station across town where the coffee still sucks hears me talking about it, they may pick it up. So be looking for them to bring you the best of Frankfort. And you can tell them, thanks for Kevin Keith, all right? Just kidding. They already stole something from me, the name. I saw that Russ Casper had shared something a couple weeks ago talking about their old Shy 99 studios there on their in their studio on Barner Street, Barner and Central. And he made reference to the old Shy 99 studio because they've sold that it's going to be their podcast to broadcast studio. And I thought, damn it, that sounds familiar. Oh, wait a minute. I've got something called podcast to broadcast. So when you see the Casper Media crew start to ramp up and promote podcast to broadcast, just know that they stole the name from Kevin at KNS. I know. I consider it flattery. But if you see Russ Casper, be sure to mention that to him, that way to steal Kevin's great named ideas. Also, speaking of history, Mary Padgett had shared something follow me for a moment here. A lot of people know Mary. If I'm not mistaken, she used to write for the Times many, many years. And she, I don't think she lives in Frankfurt proper anymore, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm going to interview Mary on this topic of Circleville and the history of Circleville. Yesterday, I was looking through Facebook, and I saw I'm a member of the Friends of Circleville Facebook page, and she posted that, and she posted it. So I'm assuming it's her that her great great grandfather donated land that became Circleville. And about 3 months ago, I was out there doing some surveying, and as you guys know, there's not a whole lot left in Circleville these days, all right? Everything that was there, the old buildings and stuff, virtually gone. And so I got online and was able to find a bunch of cool stories and photos, and that Facebook group is really neat. And so she shared going all the way back to her great-great-great-grandfather's father, who came from like Luxembourg, and their name was Circlo, and he married a Nicole. And I'm not going to read this, but she took photos and shared them on the Circleville Facebook page. And it's several paragraphs, and it's like three pages of someone has typed out and even wrote some of it in where it got faded about how this group of the family members moved here, moved to Cass County, had a quarrel with someone, moved a little further south. They talked about the Civil War, talked about her other relatives as they came down. And the name was, I guess, Circle, spelled the same way through the years. And she's got like a full on family expose here on all the names, full genealogy. And then the last page is a full story about her great great grandfather. And I just was so intrigued by this. And so I hit Mary up on Messenger because we're friends on Facebook. And I asked her if she'd do an interview with me, and she said absolutely. So I'm going to have her on tomorrow morning talking about just this thing, these three pages of history that she shared. And if Mary is what I think she is, she's going to be a plethora of knowledge and information and fun history. So I hope you guys will enjoy that as much as I, because I love history. I've grown to love Clinton County. And I know a lot of you guys are from Clinton County and born and raised here, and you love it too, and all the little towns and burgs and cities that make it up. And so we're going to talk about Circleville history tomorrow morning right here on the KNS News and Commentary. Before I get into our interview with Rick Snay, I wanted to share something with you, because I'm so excited about the Trump win, or shellacking, we should call it, of 1 week ago last night. It's hard to believe it's been a week. It feels like it's been a month, doesn't it? I think it's because there was a big, you know, once he won. So we've all been enjoying the last week. And, you know, they say time flies when you're having fun, but not like this. It seems like it's been a year since he won. I'm not a year, but it seems like longer than a week. So President-elect Trump has started assembling his cabinet. And have you seen this all-star lineup he's putting together? I'm so happy so far with them. There's one that I wish he would have maybe given another position to, and it's the Marco Rubio Secretary of State pick. I've always loved Marco Rubio, back to when he ran against Trump along with the 16 others back in 2016. I was a Marco Rubio fan. I've always been a Ted Cruz fan, who also ran in 2016. And I still am. I like both those guys real well. But that's how I learned about and became to know Marco Rubio. So Trump has picked him for Secretary of State. And, of course, Rubio is a foreign policy hawk. He's always been tough on China and Iran. His selection is pretty much a drastic turnaround from 2016 when the two were fierce rivals in that presidential primary we all remember. Of course, Rubio was also in on the short list in consideration for Trump's running mate before he selected J.D. Vance, which I think was an excellent pick as well. I'm cool with this because Secretary of State needs to be a Marco Rubio-esque type of person. I think the fact that we had Hillary as Secretary of State was an abomination, but that's just my opinion. I know yours too, right? Yeah, we agree on that. But it needs to be. But I can't help but think that Marco couldn't be served in a better role within, maybe a closer cabinet position within the Trump administration. The other thing I worry about too is he's doing a lot of good as a senator. And you know, when you work for Trump, it could be a 2 or 4 year deal, very well be a 2 year deal. It could be a 2 month deal. And so Rubio's given up that senator position if in fact he accepts this, which he'd be crazy not to. And then what does Marco do from there? You know, so I'm a little leery on that, but I think it's a good solid pick on that. Also for the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency director, this pick is a small, seldom known name, Lee Zeldin. But this guy he's always been an outspoken defender of Trump, even during his first impeachment. Zeldin is an attorney, and he has always been one of those who has stood up to all these heavy-handed EPA regulations, which has killed business and industry in America. And I'm here to tell you, Lee Zeldin is one of those no-nonsense, cut the crap, cut the fat type of EPA director, to where he's going to roll it way back. So you be looking for that name. Watch that name, Lee Zeldin, for the EPA director. This guy is going to come in day one and really take the cake, if you will, okay? So United Nations Ambassador Lee Stefanik. Now, we all like her. She has very limited diplomatic experience, but she's always been an outspoken critic of the United Nations and a staunch ally of Israel. So she's been the pick for United Nations ambassador. So I like at least to go over there and do what Trump does, basically, which is keep them on their toes and make sure everyone's paying their fair share, because the UN, not a big fan anyway. But if we got to be in it and around it for now, we need an Elise Stefanik in there. So hopefully she'll go over there and keep them on their ears like Trump does. Now, Kristi Noem, the South Dakota governor, she's always been loyal to Trump, and he's put her in the position of Homeland Security Secretary. And of course, she's been the South Dakota governor since 2019. She was also on the short list for Trump's running mate before early excerpts of her book revealed that she killed her hunting dog 20 years ago, which we've all had to do at some point. Sometimes you have to put an animal down, but they just thought that would be too dirty and bloody to appeal to some of the moderate libs. Which I guess I'm glad they made that decision, but that's part of farm life. You got to do that sometimes. So Kristi Noem is going to be the Homeland Security Secretary pick, and this chick is tough, man. I mean, tough as nails. So look out. I love that pick. Now, when you go talking about ambassadors, an ambassador is a very important position in each of the countries that they represent the United States in. You're like a rock star. You have everything catered to you, and you can't let that get to your head. And when it comes to Israel, Donald Trump has picked Mike Huckabee, who also was in the running for the Republican primary in 2016. Of course, Huckabee, former Arkansas governor from 96 to 2007. So he has been picked as ambassador to Israel. He's got the street cred. He has been in Israel. He has been over there and has been on the ground and knows the people and knows how it works and is a good, reliable, religious conservative for the Trump administration. So what an excellent pick there. And then you've got Chief of Staff Susie Wiles. Now, this was announced late last week, and Wiles has spent the last 2 years co-running Trump's campaign and is well-respected across both aisles as a political operative. She's going to be the first woman to serve as the White House Chief of Staff. She's among the people that Trump thanked after his 2024 victory. Honestly, I had just heard of her a little bit before, but I never knew she was quite that high as a political operative. She's worked for Senator Rick Scott of Florida and Governor Ron DeSantis and was a deputy director during former President Reagan's 1980 campaign. So not only has she been around, she's got the street cred as well. And what I'm really excited about before we take a commercial break here is Tom Homan. And if you say, who? Well, I'll tell you who. Tom is going to be the border czar. Now, that's not an official cabinet pick. It's just like a position. But he is the former Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, director. He did that in a temporary role a couple years ago. And he was named as Trump's border czar, tasked with cracking down on immigration and overseeing the southern border, northern border, all maritime and aviation security, according to a statement from Trump. Homan has already said he's going to crank up workplace raids as a way to address labor and sex trafficking and will prioritize public safety threats and national security threats for deportation as border czar. He was an early proponent of the zero tolerance policy that separated more than 4,000 children from their parents in the first Trump administration and recently said families can be deported together while discussing plans for the upcoming term. So, if you could, do yourself a favor and YouTube Tom Homan and watch some of his interviews he's had over the last year on some of the lamestream media. And when you see that, boy, if you're a Trump fan and you care about our border, you're going to love Tom Homan. Trust me on that. Finally, National Security Advisor Mike Waltz. Waltz is an Army veteran who was the first Green Beret elected to Congress and will serve as Trump's top national security official after leaving the House after representing Florida since 2019. He's called for Europe to do more to support Ukraine and for the U.S. to be more stringent with its support, aligning with a key foreign policy goal of President Trump. He's also been a staunch critic of the Biden administration's 2021 withdrawal from Afghanistan, which, if you have a brain, we are too. So there's a quick look at some of the early picks of the upcoming Trump administration, which we're all thankful for. And I tell my liberal friends who are depressed and afraid, you know, of what's coming with the Trump administration, the policies he puts in place are going to benefit you too. So just sit back, quit your bitching, and enjoy the next 4 years, okay? And I happen to feel that the next 4 years, even if the Democrats try to throw all this bullshit at him that they did the first 4 years, I think Trump's got a plan for that. So hopefully he won't be mired by that, or we won't have another COVID or something like that. So let's sit back and enjoy a beautiful 4 years, which would hopefully set up the next 8 years as a back-to-back J.D. Vance presidency I'm looking forward to. So I'm going to come right back with Rick Snay. I want to thank our community-minded partners here at KNS. We've got Center Township of Clinton County, Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis Frankfort, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies of Mulberry, Gem City Junction, Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch, Sanford and Daughter Mulberry, Live for Life Indiana Lebanon, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, and Probyte Computers. Right back with Rick Snay, going to talk about the Delphi murder verdict from the KNS Radio Network.
There is a group in Lebanon making a real difference in the lives of Boone County's previously incarcerated, particularly women who are trying their best to get their lives back on track. It's called Live for Life Indiana. Their mission statement? To reunite, support, and strengthen families by providing housing first. It can be hard to successfully manage life after incarceration and while trying to remain in addiction recovery. Live for Life can help by providing rental deposits, monthly rental assistance, mini grants for housing-related expenses, and connecting women to a mentor to help them with life skills and overall navigation through their new life. They use a self-help, empowerment approach as they assist with budgeting, financial support, and advocacy in working to reunite families. They work for social change through education, service, and collaboration. Rebuilding lives, restoring hope. Live for Life Indiana. Contact them via their website at www.liveforlifeindiana.org. Again, that's www.liveforlifeindiana.org.
Just imagine, next summer when it's hotter than blazes, you get into your car after it's been sitting out in the sun, and it's like, feels pretty good. Thanks to Marchand's Window Tinting. Window tinting has all kinds of benefits. Along with keeping your car's interior cooler, tinting protects upholstery, blocks harmful UV rays, offers shatter protection, and makes your car look cool. We stick it where the sun shines. Marchand's Window Tinting, 4015 South State Road 39 in Frankfort. Google them today.
This is just a reminder to support small businesses. McDonald's can get your order wrong 1,000 times and you still support it. But when a local business makes a mistake once, you criticize it for life. Walmart can raise prices overnight and you will still shop there. A small business owner gives you their price and you always want a discount or question the price. Don't be that person. Support small businesses. They keep your community strong.
Well, Granny's got a secret recipe. Goodies on what all the neighbors need, with a twinkle in her eye and a kitchen worn with time. She whips up something sweet that's worth every dime. A burst of flavor that takes you for a ride, ooh yeah. Granny's Goodies, oh, they can't be beat.
Find Granny's Goodies on Facebook or stop by 105 West Jackson Street in Mulberry or give her a call at 765-426-1810. Welcome back to the KNS News and Commentary. I'm Kevin Keith. Want to thank our community-minded partners. We've got Center Township of Clinton County, Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis Frankfort, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies of Mulberry, Gem City Junction, Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch, Sanford and Daughter in Mulberry, Live for Life Indiana Lebanon, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, and Probyte Computers, all from the KNS Radio Network. Well, after hearing weeks of testimony, a jury brought in from Allen County found Richard Allen guilty of four counts of murder in the February 2017 deaths of Abby Williams and Libby German near the Monon High Bridge in the Delphi area. I've got Rick Snay joining me back again, the host of the podcast Delphi After Dark. Rick, thanks for sitting down with me.
Thanks for having me.
I know that the listeners to the KNS program here know both how you and I felt and feel about this verdict. I don't know where to start for sure, other than I know you were in the area and had spent some time up there the last couple of days. What is the general feeling from the families, from what you've talked to them about, and do they feel that justice has been served in this, both Abby and Libby's families? Do they think Richard Allen was the guy?
I can't personally speak for their, you know, from personal knowledge, because I actually I don't talk to the families of Abby and Libby at all anymore. I used to, but that ended when I decided that I didn't like that PCA and I didn't think they had the right guy. Mm-hmm. Obviously they do. But it's, you know, I don't understand how they can be this invested and have, you know, wanting so badly to get the right person and just swallow this whole load of BS. I mean, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the Allen family, when Kathy came out, she was angry, very angry. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame her. But his mother, Jan, she was, I can only describe her as devastated.
Mm-hmm.
So they are understandably upset.
It seems like, of course, everybody is an armchair quarterback on this. You and I have had our opinions and feelings even prior to the trial. We felt that if the defense was worth its weight in gold at all, or paper for that much, that they would be able to create some reasonable doubt. And it seems like every report, and you and I talked about this just a week and a half ago, every report that I had heard daily from WOWO in Fort Wayne, WOWO, that news talk station up there, or WIBC in Indianapolis, it seemed like, and you said it best, I think, Rick, was that the defense got most of their hits in on cross-examination of the prosecution's witnesses, mm-hmm. being able to create that reasonable doubt. I can only gather that maybe the jury wasn't able to, obviously, thanks to Judge Frangoul, they weren't able to hear everything that we heard and the reasonable doubt that we basically know is fact.
Right. That was decided, you know, going into the trial. It was also decided that there were going to be no mention of any third party. I couldn't talk about Kagan Klein, couldn't talk about James Chadwell, couldn't talk about anybody, you know, Ron Logan. and the objections from Nick that she would sustain and from the defense that she would overrule. I mean, she would overrule one objection from the defense when, you know, for Nick, and then she would sustain this, you know, the very same objection, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's when it's for the state, but it was obvious bias. And I think people are going to see that this is the reason she didn't want cameras in there. You know, she knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously it's just a horribly corrupt county there. And, you know, people aren't realizing it.
You know, I think there's been two or three positions lost since all this happened, even going back 7 years ago or so, whether it was a sheriff and, you know, losing his job over questionable things, and people aren't there who were there originally.
Yeah. Robert Ives, he was the prosecutor in the beginning, and I think he said they said he retired for health reasons.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that, you know, had these strange things to say about the crime scene. So and then Shane Evans, of course, was the mayor. And then he went on shortly after the murders to become he was working in the prosecutor's office as an assistant prosecutor. And of course, now he's going to be a judge. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I the politics there is, you know, it's the same everywhere in the state, you know, and everywhere in the country, really. It's buddy-buddy system and everything, and everybody covers for everybody else.
Right.
But this, man, it goes much deeper than politics. This is something that, you know, they are hiding something big, and I wish we could find out what it is, to tell you the truth, but people are scared to talk. They really are.
Yeah, that's a fact. I think that was proven, too, from some other podcasters I'd talked to who were up in the area. Everybody who pays any attention to it at all and it does any kind of podcast feels the same way. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing that there's really, I mean, everybody feels that way, you know, and except for those parties involved. And like you said, there seems like there's some much bigger thing at play, and it's going to be even tougher now to figure that out with a conviction.
Yeah. would say is, if you look at the future of this particular case, the Richard Allen case, there's definitely going to be an appeal. And just, you know, there are a lot of ways that you can appeal. You know, they may use more than one appeal. Some you can get on reversible errors and so forth. But you have to prove that the jury, it would have affected the jury, you know, in the long run. If it's something that, you know, you get the judge to admit, yeah, I made a mistake, but you have to show that it would have affected the verdict. But there are other ones, you know, there are other appeals where you will have the appellate process. You go through that and you take it through the courts, and that takes years, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the fact that it was determined prior and sometimes during early on in the trial that there was not going to be those couple people you mentioned at the beginning here of the reasonable doubt, along with the Odinism and things like that, it's almost like he wasn't able to present a defense.
Yeah, he was not at all allowed to present a defense. It was basically any kind of, you know, and when you say, people were saying, you know, whether you have to have a nexus. Well, you know, a nexus doesn't have to be, you know, something deadlocked, tangible. It could just be, it just needs to be some kind of a connection is all. Mm-hmm. And there were definitely connections to bring in so many of these things, and they didn't get brought in. So those kind of things, the third party thing, not being allowed to use a third party defense. A third party defense is so common in defending murder cases that that's the one right there that has the most chance of succeeding, I think.
Mm-hmm. You had came up, posted something on your Facebook page either yesterday or the day before, something that made a lot of sense about the water height at the time of this. Can you explain that to me? Because that made a lot of sense to me. That,
yeah, the state's case, excuse me, the state's case is dependent upon Richard Allen crossing the creek with the girls. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of different problems with that. If you look at, because this data is available, if you look at the data for the depth of Deer Creek and how fast it was moving, it was, if you look back on the whole year of 2013, that day, February 13th, was the third highest and fastest moving that the creek was in 2013. And it was probably on, because all three of them were approximately 5'4", mm-hmm. Abby, Libby, and Richard Allen. So if this is what they say, that he crossed the creek with the girls, then that's three of them crossing that creek, which is going pretty fast. And it's like probably about, you know, I don't know, maybe 40 degrees at most, you know, I mean,
right.
You know, freezing cold. And of course, Libby has to keep her phone up out of the water because if it gets wet, it's going to be ruined. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't hold up. I just don't see that how that could have happened. That water would have been at least mid chest on them.
Mm-hmm. You know, there was somebody came out with a website. I forget what it was. Someone sent it to me late last week that actually showed pictures of the evidence that was presented, including the crime scene photos. Mm-hmm. And I saw exactly what you were talking about. Number one, they're terribly disturbing, and they, you know, they're images I'll never be able to get out of my mind. But I saw exactly what you were talking about with the sticks, you know, stacked intentionally, I guess,
right,
on them, and the bodies positioned, and some other things that were allowed into evidence, and then some things that weren't allowed into evidence. And some of that, I don't know who put this website together, but it was very comprehensive, and it had a lot of stuff that was that dealt with Odinism that also correlated with the way the bodies were positioned.
Yep.
And I found that terribly intriguing that if Alan did in fact do all this, do it on his own, cross the creek, and you know, then try to throw investigators off by being a mastermind and not leaving behind any trace evidence or DNA, and then stacking the positioning the bodies and stacking sticks, you know, in that stands for something in Odinism.
Right.
Boy, talk about a criminal mastermind.
Yeah, he's a regular Lex Luthor, man, I'm telling you.
Right.
It's ridiculous for us, but if you think about it, the jury, if they are intellectually curious, will be trying to find out about some of the things they couldn't find out about during the trial. And they're going to discover everything they weren't told during this trial. And they're going to think, what's this? I didn't know anything about this.
Yeah.
And it's going to be stuff that would have totally changed their mind. And that's why I say I think an appeal will be extremely successful, you know, and I think we'll get a new trial out of it.
I don't know when that would be. I don't know how quick an appeal would be processed. I'm guessing that these attorneys are in it for the long haul.
I don't know if the same group of attorneys will be handling it. I don't know if Andy Baldwin and Brad Rosie are going to be handling the appeal part. I think they're going to be that they're committed to being at least involved. But they may have other people that specialize in appeals that they can use. That, you know, there's a lot of good people already working on stuff I know personally. So, I think they have everything they need as far as help getting this thing going. I just don't know if it'll be actually those two guys that it was, you know, this time, or if they'll pass on to someone else to handle.
You know, it's amazing to see how the internet, particularly Facebook, is split over this. I know I posted something that I hadn't seen a travesty since OJ in a courtroom, since something like this. And I was just, you know, kind of being cutesy, but, you know, it sparked a whole lot of people with a whole lot of opinions, and their opinions either think the jury got it right or the jury got it wrong. But there's a third alternative that I hadn't heard about prior, and I've seen quite a few people say this, and I personally don't think it holds any water either, is that he had something to do with it, but he had help.
Yeah, I don't give that any credence, that scenario, because I feel if he was involved in some way, he probably would have given up the people he was involved with.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
What they were doing to him in prison. And that's something that people don't understand. They talk about the confessions. Well, he confessed. And then they talk about how, well, at one point he wasn't insane when he confessed, and he was very rational talking to his mom and everything. You know, they don't seem to understand what was being inferred, and they have to have it pointed out directly to them. He was being threatened. You know, I mean, how obvious is that?
Mm-hmm.
They were telling him exactly what to say. I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't standing over him while he was on the phone, you know, saying, you better say exactly what we told you to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, people don't want to go there. They don't want to go there with this is a conspiracy.
Right.
But it is. That's what's going on. I mean, it's what's been going on now for, you know, a long time in that case. They're trying harder to cover up what really happened than they are to solve it.
I can't imagine if in fact he truly is innocent. I can't imagine what his mindset is going back to prison.
I can't either. He'll be in Cass County until the sentencing on the 20th. And then that's when they'll put him where he's going to be. And, you know, with what he's been convicted of, it's, you know,
yeah,
not a friendly life in prison.
Right. Yeah, that's a whole nother host of problems he would have once he gets in prison. And again, if he is in fact innocent, having to deal with that every day and hopefully he would be in some kind of protected segregation, but that's no life either, you know.
Right. And there's no guarantee of that, you know.
Right.
I feel like if something were to happen to him while he's in the appeals process, I feel like that would work out just fine for them.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's what I worry about.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I never thought about that, but you're right. That'd be mighty convenient, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, Rick, I appreciate you sitting down with me again today. I think it's safe to say that you and I have had some good conversations on this, and I appreciate you bringing your expertise and knowledge to my show and to my listeners. So I'd like to just keep that invitation open, that anytime you think you see something out there in the news that I've not touched on or caught you on yet, or you uncover something on your podcast Delphi After Dark, you could reach out to me, and if not, I'll reach out to you as this thing goes on, because I don't think either one of us want to admit that it's over yet. I think we would like to still see justice served in the right way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not over for me. I'm at the time that you called me, I was putting together a multi-creator summit tonight on my channel, and we are getting ready to organize and fight back. So it's far from over.
All right. Well, I'll encourage people to check out your podcast again, Delphi After Dark. You can find that just about anywhere. Rick Snay, thanks again for sitting down with me. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks.